have Jesus than silver gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus,
oh, yes,
than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand,
oh, than to be the King of a vast domain. Sing that chorus again. Oh, than to be the King of a vast domain, or be hailed great sway.
I'd rather Jesus than anything.
All this old world of ours today. Do you mean that with all your heart? Do you mean it with everything you got? Oh, give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord. Isn't He the best thing that ever got a hold of you?
Amen.
Amen. We're so glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in church?
Amen.
Isn't it a privilege from the Lord just to get to be here? We had revival here over the weekend, didn't we? Do you appreciate the Word of God? It gets better all the time, don't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're here tonight, Wednesday night, and we're going to do it all over again. It's camp meeting on Wednesday night. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say amen right then.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord with all your heart, church? Look at somebody and say, He's the greatest thing I've ever got a hold of. Praise the Lord. Yes, He is. The greatest thing. Brother Harry, sing me that second verse if you will.
I'd rather
praise the Lord
have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather
Amen. We've got a lot of requests tonight. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little while. Brother Wes, if you get ready tonight to take us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests, certainly want to continue to pray for Brother, Brother Wes Willis's son-in-law and his family. His father passed away. Let's remember that family as we pray tonight, that the Lord will be mindful of them. Also, brother, I still want to pray for Brother Gene Littleton, that family, that the Lord would just comfort their heart. Brother Gene just having a real tough time. And let's just pray for our brother and his family, that the Lord would be with them. Sister Connie Badillo says, please pray for a schedule change for me at work. We just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Jerry Glenn says to please pray for my son-in-law, Scott Malden. We have in surgery tomorrow. Also for Mrs. Tony Isley. We'll be having a colonoscopy. Pray for good results. So let's remember those needs as we pray. Brother Randy Scott has to continue to remember his friend Richie's father in prayer. And he wants to thank the church for all their past prayers. We just thank God that he's a prayer answering God. Amen. We certainly do. I want to pray for Sister Rittenauer. I hope I got that name right, from Missouri, who fell and broke her shoulder in several places and is having surgery. Also want to pray for Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick's grandson, who is to have a test for employment, and just pray that everything will go well on that regard. So let's remember that tonight. This is a very urgent prayer request for Sister Elizabeth Collins, a young sister from Brother Ray Erickson's church. Unless God undertakes, she is facing a liver and heart transplant. Her body is not getting enough oxygen, and the doctors are not giving her much hope. Her only, she and her husband have a little four-year-old son, so they're asking that we would remember that sister in prayer that attends Brother Ray Erickson's church. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Deanna Pascal. Her sugar is so high that it is affecting her kidneys and causing other problems in her body, having a lot of stress, and really needs a healing touch from the Lord. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Sister Mary Anthony from Texas, called to request prayer for her 16-month-old son named Nehemiah. He was diagnosed with having E. coli and other bacteria attacking his body. He has been released from the hospital, but is still very sick and in need of a healing touch. So we certainly want to remember that need on behalf of that child. Sister Pat Nunley says to please remember Brother Clinton Gibby and family. He has taken a turn for the worse. Hospice has called in. The whole family needs prayer during this time. So we want to pray for that family as well. The Lord will be mindful of them. Sister Linda Jablonski says to please pray for my sister, Joanna Price in Florida. Has several health issues, but most of all, pray for the healing or for the salvation of her soul. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Please remember my family in prayer. God knows all about the needs. Brother Moyer sends this in. So we just want to commit that family, Brother Moyer, unto the Lord. Brother Robert Marrero, pastor from New York, is in Puerto Rico with family. And of course, you know, that's where the storm is hitting right now. So they're asking that we would remember that part of the world and those folks in prayer tonight. So we want to do that. I want to pray for the family of Scott Squibby, who passed away today. I hope I got that name close to right. But let's pray for that family, that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Baker says to please have prayer for my co-worker's wife. She has kidney stones. His name is Tom Ellis. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Mac McClelland, who has cancer. Also Floyd Story, also has cancer. Very good men who have confidence in her prayers. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Brother Keith Phillips, work went well, but very wore down. So let's pray for his energy and strength, that the Lord would just be with him. I want to pray for Sister Barbara Gravely, who is still in pain, needs prayer. Also continue to pray for Brother Burt. So let's remember those needs tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight in this group, let's remember all those that are sick from our assembly tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks. And well, we miss them when they're not here, don't we? We certainly do. Could we stand tonight together, Brother Wes, if you just come, take us to the Lord tonight on behalf of these prayer requests. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? We love you, buddy. Thank you. God bless you.
I've got one more request I'd like to add to this real quick, if I may. My uncle, or my wife's uncle, Jerry Jackson, passed away this week, right after Ben's father, or my son-in-law Ben's father, passed away. We had the graveside service, and we went to pray for Jerry. And just a little while about an hour or less after we left, he passed away. And there's just so many people who are being touched by loss in their families, and so many people we've been praying for and thinking about who've been going through these sort of things. And, you know, in grief we all stand together. Whenever the devil rushes in like a flood, God raises a standard. And we've got each other till the day we leave here. Whether it be at the Lord's call or whether we get on the chariot and go across, doesn't matter to me. I'm looking for the rapture. I think it's soon to come, don't you? But we won't have to worry about these kind of things anymore. No more separation. No more loss. No more grief. Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm so mindful of all these requests, Lord. It seems like I said, like the devil's rushing in like a flood. There's just so many requests, but I see it as a chance and an opportunity for your name to be glorified and to be lifted even higher. Lord God, we don't stand before these requests in fear, but in faith, believing that our God is able, more than able, to take care of each and every one of these, Lord. When fear comes in, a child is seemingly the victim of Satan's Eden, Lord, of this horrible world and this kingdom that we're forced to be in, Lord, and be surrounded by. And you know, the fear comes in and it takes a hold of us when a little child, we wonder, can we get enough faith, you know, to help this child? But Lord, we don't need to be afraid. All we need to do is call on the name of Jesus. There is no name higher. There is no more power in the universe than your name, Lord. If we call on you in faith and we believe, Satan can't stand before that. Lord, we trust you and we believe you for all things tonight. Lord, with the condition of this world and the dread that's fallen upon it and all the terrible judgments that seem to be fallen, Lord, it just makes me cry out and just makes me long to get here, Lord, for another service where I can hear your voice one more time, speak through the man of God. Give me instruction, revelation, direction, Lord God. Lord, I feel like the neediest person there is in this building tonight when I walk through those doors. But I know that my brothers and sisters are right there with me calling out to you for revelation, for strength, for encouragement, for peace in this time of darkness, Lord. And that's what we find here. And Lord, we're so grateful. We worship you. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We give everything to you tonight, Lord. And we ask, Lord, above anything else, that you be lifted up, that you be raised up, Lord, that your name be brought high among everything, that the light of your word shine out, Lord, and push back all the darkness out of our lives and answer all the prayer requests, Lord, and tell us more about how to get closer to you and give us more instructions on how to fight the fight. Lord, we love you so much. And we just thank you one last time before I sit. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, we commit the rest of this service to you. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us in the service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming this service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome someone to the service tonight. Sister Deanna Glenn says that she would like to welcome her sister visiting from Ohio, Sister Christine Short. That would be you right here. Give her a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you here. And anyone that's planning to attend the reception for Brother Randy and Sister Hannah on October the 6th in the Fellowship Hall, please sign up in the library before October the 1st so that a number can be obtained to plan the reception. So remember that. Sign up in the library. You know, you may be sad here. You may have all kinds of disappointments. Everything go wrong. But everybody's going to be happy over there. Somebody say praise the Lord. Some of you act a little bit happy on this side. I'm glad to be happy right here too, aren't you? I'm enjoying my journey. I am enjoying the trip. Praise the Lord. Hey, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saint of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall hear and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. Shout! Hey. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there.
Everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises.
Everybody will be happy over there.
Morning in that land, for no burdens there would be for us to bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there.
I said now everybody will be happy. Everybody will be happy over there.
There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us down here in Laodicea.
Hallelujah.
By his grace.
Thank you, Lord.
And who brought us to that land so bright and fair.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll praise the Lord.
We will praise his name forever.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Because we've been practicing. We will praise his name forever. Precious face.
Everybody
will be happy.
Everybody
over there.
Thank you, Lord. I said now everybody will be happy.
Will be happy.
Everybody will be happy
over there.
One more time. I said now everybody will be happy. Will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. The Lord. Amen. Praise. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I want you to give somebody a real nice hand as they make their way to the platform to sing for you tonight. Brother Dwight Hall is here with us in the service, and I know you're going to enjoy this guy tonight. I love to hear him sing, don't you?
Fix that.
Brother Dwight, we're glad to have you, buddy. He's going to sing at least three songs. If he sings fast, maybe four. You get right here and sing, buddy.
We got to save room for Donnie somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the key point right there.
Okay.
Me and him's got a little secret. We can't tell you what it is. You go ahead and talk to him and tell him about your CDs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here tonight. And been a long time. Brother Louis, he texts me April the 7th of last year. And I said, I'm coming. Well, I had to repent to him because I didn't come as soon as I should have come. So I am really glad to be here tonight and to sing for the glory of God. I would like to just bring you just one little thing. I read, I walked into the world's greatest library, and I walked all over its beautiful polished floors. Then I began to look under every stack and nook, but I settled at last with the book of books. This is my Facebook. Brother Graham said, when you turn this Bible open and you look at it, said, you see the face of God. So this song tonight, we'll start out with this one called The Prodigal Son. Okay. Maybe up a little bit. He was many, many miles away from home. Teardrops fell from his eyes as he bowed his head and cried, Lord, I've treated Dad and others oh so wrong. Now I sit by this big pen, feeding swine and out in sin, and I'm many, many miles away from home. Away from home, my father's home, weak and hungry all alone. Oh, I'm many, many miles away from home. Dad didn't argue the day I left and took my inheritance, but I should have stayed home. And now that I've spent all, my friends are all gone, and I'm all alone. I just got to go and ask him if I could just be one of his hired servants, because I'm just not worthy to be your son. As the son came home one day, the father saw him far away, and he ran to meet his boy with open arms. The father heard his simple plea, but said, Son, you're part of me, and I'm glad that you have finally come back home. Away from home, my father's home, sad and weary all alone. Now he's happy just to know that he's back home. Yes, he's happy just to know that he's back home. I want to sing Brother Louis' favorite song, Saddle Up. Looking back on the trail, it's been a lot of years. Sometimes a lot of joy came, sometimes a trail of tears. It's been worth it all to know Jesus and his love. One day, very soon, I'll join the trail boss up above.
saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love your people, Lord. On this trail I've been so blessed to write a song. Every now and then I write them to some heart they must belong. They say there's healing in music, and I believe it so. God wants to make you happy, so saddle up and let us go. Saddle up and ride with me. I got a song I want to sing. It's a song of love and compassion you might need. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. So saddle up and ride this trail with me. We got time, okay. God made it all. He made it all. God made the stars to shine just for me. He made the desert sands, the mountains and the seas. The beauty of creation, my eyes they plainly see. That God made it all for you, for me. God made the sunset in the western sky. When I behold its beauty, I can't help but cry. If God is in your heart, then you can see Him too. Yes, He made it all for you, for you. Yes, He did. Don't you just love to worship God? Just feel it. God, He give me life. He took me in control. He done a work inside, the changing of the soul. A brand new creation, I now am free. Yes, He did it all for you, for me. Yes, he did it all for you and for me. For you. I'm as happy as a bumblebee under in a patch of clover. Well, this next one is called the Texas Preacher. No, I'm sorry. The Tennessee Preacher. I got mixed up there. You don't live in Texas. And Brother Donnie preached a message called Affirmations. And I couldn't fit the word affirmations in there to make it work right, so I called it Say So. That sums it up, because God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your mouth, becomes a creative force, releasing the ability of God within you. So that's affirmations. Yes. So this song was written for your pastor, and I'm going to practice it on you tonight. And pray for me that I don't mess up. This is he's in a fight with the devil here. He stood 6 foot tall, 170 pounds of steel. This Tennessee preacher declared God's word is real. The devil said, I'm gonna take you down. But the preacher said, not on my ground. Get up, get out, and get to moving. Satan, get up, get out, and get to moving. I said, get up, get out, and get to moving. You're a squatter on this ground, so pack your duds and leave this town. Get up, get out, and get to moving. Praise the Lord. Now the devil's gun is loaded up with blanks. And when he fires that gun at you, it's just a prank. You got a six gun of faith right by your side. Just pull it out, don't run and hide. Shoot straight, don't fret, he'll get to moving. Yes, he will. I think I'm a little Pentecostal, or a whole lot. Whether you go to Happy Valley or Streaming Inn, just know that in the Lord you have a friend. So remember, this Tennessee preacher preached a message called Say So. You got to speak God's word first of all, then the devil's got to go. Say again, get out, and get to moving. Satan, get up. Get out and get to moving. You're a squatter on this ground, so pack your duds and leave this town. Satan, get up, get out, and get to moving. Satan, get up, get out, and get to moving. I said, get up, get on out. Yeah, get to moving. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Praise the Lord.
You appreciate that guy right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you didn't mention your CDs, Brother Dwight. Do you want me to go ahead and say it? He has CDs, two CDs in the library, and they're free for you. Everybody gets at least two CDs. So if you want one, go to the library. It's free, Brother Dwight said. I'd do better off by just giving them away. So he has those for you. I like to just sit in a concert and listen to him sing a couple hours one night, wouldn't you? Be great around the campfire, some horses tied up behind you, wouldn't it? Amen. You just feel real comfortable with Brother Dwight Hall singing. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. God is certainly a God of variety, isn't he? How we love each other. How Brother Dwight, God bless you. Better not be this long again before you get back. We'll come to North Carolina and get you, buddy. God bless you. Let's all stand tonight. It's time to go on into the Word of the Lord. And I know you're looking forward to the preaching tonight. Ship may get to Rome tonight. We don't know, but we've had a good time enjoying the book of Acts, haven't we? We certainly have. Let's sing as Brother Donnie gets ready to come out. Our God is awesome. God is awesome. Do you believe that? We sing it a lot, but what better could you sing than to brag about an awesome God? We're certainly not awesome, but He is awesome. Our God is awesome. God is awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's so awesome. Our God is awesome.
Lead me in the valley. Hide me from.
Let's give Him a wonderful hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad you know that in reality? That's not just something that you read in the Bible, but it's something that you know in your own life. Let's turn to Acts chapter 28, if you would, tonight. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? Now, because He is so awesome and so wonderful and so powerful and so great, why would He ever allow His people to go through things that seem so difficult and go through trials and tests that can be so humiliating and so embarrassing? We're going to read of one tonight. Paul, the great apostle, one of the greatest men that ever lived. The greatest man, one of the greatest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And our scriptures are going to open up with him tonight in such an embarrassing, humiliating position. Acts 28, verse 13. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now, where's that awesome God you folks were singing about a while ago? Now, this word kept actually means chained. Paul's right hand chained to this soldier's left hand. He don't go to the bathroom. He don't go to the kitchen. He don't get nothing to eat. He don't do anything without this man going with him. If he prays for the sick, he's with him. If he preaches, he's with him. If he studies, if he writes, whatever he does. Is God still awesome? Really? Can he break chains?
Yes, sir.
But does he always break them?
No.
Oh, now y'all got that sad look on your face. Your smile, that smiley face is now like this. My, my. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? Pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We are so glad that we can recognize that you're an awesome, mighty God. When walls are falling, when chains are breaking, boy, we can rally, Lord. We can smile and we can holler and scream because we think there's victory in the camp. But Lord, we should be able to rally and holler and scream if it's your will that we're going through hard times and difficult times, because we realize you're awesome. Whether we're in good times or bad times, that doesn't really make the difference of whether you're awesome. You're always awesome. Always have been. Always will be. Father, we love you tonight. And we ask your help in this service. Lord Jesus, I want to pray, Lord, for Brother Robert Marrero and his family and other saints down in Puerto Rico. I know, Lord, that this storm has come through there and brought terrible devastation. Most of the island without electricity, homes devastated, pretty much destroyed, seems like. Lord, Brother Robert called me this morning before the power went off and just soliciting our prayers. Just believe that you watched over them, that you've been with them. May you help them, Lord. We're living in such a terrible time. The earth is shaking and cracking, and earthquake in Mexico and one hurricane after another. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The earth is going through her birth pains, Lord. Oh, Lord God, may we be ready, Father. Help us, I pray. May we look into your word tonight. May we be benefited by our gathering together here tonight. We'll give you the praise for it, Father. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I imagine there's a lot about our lives, as well as the lives of these great people in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. When we come to the New Testament, we come to a dispensation of greater grace, of greater mercy. People tend to think the greater the grace, the greater the dispensation of mercy, the less trouble, the less requirement, the less restriction, the less they have to do, and the more God does on their behalf. But we know that that's actually a misconception of grace and mercy, that God many times magnifies that grace. Now we see that from the great life of this man, that when he met the pillar of fire, from the moment that God came to him, from the very initial birth of the word in this man's life, he started having pain, suffering, difficulty. His new birth actually began with him losing his sight. The Spirit of God comes and births the gene in this man's soul. And it comes with great personal loss. It comes with great pain that is inflicted in his body. Once Ananias comes by the Spirit of God by vision, and he comes and tells the man what God has told him, the further part of the revelation of his life, he will be a great spokesman for me, or witness to kings, and be a great spokesman to the Gentiles. And then whenever he's baptized and the Lord reopens his eyes at the hands of Ananias, no wonder he could speak about blindness. No wonder he could write about blindness. He himself had been blind and his eyes was now open. So God had performed the very miraculous in his own life. Then whenever he does that, what does he find? The very people that he's sent to preach to, they don't trust him. They think that he's a liar. They think that he's a hypocrite, that he's trying to come among them and preach about Jesus only to be able to betray them and lead them to jail. So the very Christians that he sent among, they don't even trust him. Some of the very preachers that he was sent to be able to befriend and help, they want nothing to do with him. The Christians which are teaching and preaching love and forgiveness don't trust him as far as they could throw him, which wouldn't be very far. So he has to deal with that. Then when he starts preaching Jesus to the Jews, then they hate him. They despise him. They have him arrested. And the Romans get involved. Everywhere the man turns, he has one problem after another. Now you realize everybody could not handle this. It was not like that Paul was able to have 10, 15 years of great revival. And he had this new birth and he was able to sail on the calm seas of life. And God kept so much difficulty away from him. Almost immediately, the man was thrown into such turmoil, and it's like it never let up for any long span of time, that he went from one thing to another to another. But we know that for the men of God that are called in great and large capacities, that God gifts men according to his own desire. Men are not gifted according to their choice. Well, I choose to have this much gift, this much influence. I'll preach this much. I'll have this much understanding. We have no say over that whatsoever. God does that himself. And God gifts men with a certain capacity. Some men, they preach 3-4 times a month. That's their capacity. Other men can preach 3-6 times a week. Could do it week on end for a long, long time. You know why? Because God gives them that capacity. They don't do that themselves. What if they'd study more? If they'd study more, it still don't mean they could put it together that way. But God does that himself. But the larger the capacity, the larger the influence, the larger the amount of revelation delegated to a man, you watch more trouble come with it. Because thorns always are associated with progressive revelation in a man's life. God just coincides them together in order to keep the man where he needs to be. Well, praise the Lord. And Paul is going to surpass all of them. Now, Peter was a great man. James was a great man. I've been in parts of India where Thomas went and where Thomas took the gospel. I was near in my trip to India not long ago, where I'm planning on going back again after the first of the year. And I was near where Thomas was killed, where he actually lived in a cave there. And yet Thomas did a great work. Did he write any books? Oh, there's one that's supposedly Thomas wrote, but it never made the canon of New Testament scripture. And yet Thomas never excelled to the caliber of man that Paul did. All he could do is do his best. Thomas lived a life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, many of them. But look at this man. This man is given such great understanding of the word. And with that greatness comes great trouble. With that greatness comes such persecution from the Christians, from the Jews, from the Romans, from many people, from the Corinthians, nearly everywhere the man went. He was constantly dealing with all of this difficulty. It's there to counterbalance the greatness of the abundance of the revelation that God puts in the man's life. People think they want to be great and they want to have great something or another. I ain't very smart, but I can read enough after great men to realize, I thank God I'm a nobody and a nothing. You ought to thank God. Oh, I'm nobody. You ought to be shouting tonight. Don't hang your head because you ain't a nobody. You ought to be grateful. That's right. Now, Paul now is going to enter into a different phase. I remember the Roman brethren, many of them have come, as we looked at it last Wednesday night, many of them have come from the API Forum. Some of them have come from the Three Taverns, 125 miles away, 75 miles away. They didn't come by Cadillac, they didn't come by Delta, but they've come by ox cart or walked or the back of a donkey, and they've simply heard this great man of God has made the landing in Puteoli. Puteoli was the court, or the port rather, by which the grain from Egypt, Alexandria would come. So they hear Paul is coming. They've never even met Paul. They've read the book of Romans, they've read the book of Thessalonians, and they've heard about him, and they want to meet him. So they are willing to walk, they are willing to sacrifice to be able to meet this great man of God. Wouldn't you love to have been there at that time? And it was a wonderful thing for him. Now Paul goes on and he arrives in Rome. Now Lucius, this guy which has been with Paul all this length of time, he now commits his duty and he turns him over to what he's supposed to do, the captain of the guard. No doubt if it had been left up to him, this man would have let him go completely. But he must come under the jurisdiction of Roman law. Could not God have miraculously somehow worked it out that this man, well now he's in Rome, he can be able to go out and preach, and yet here is the church age messenger chained up every day of his life. The church age messenger can't go over here and can't go over there without constantly having this Roman that is absolutely a chain to him every day of his life. Oh my. You imagine how this poor Roman was when this guy got along and got to speaking in tongues and praying and got to getting revelations from God. You think, how in the world did this guy not get born again just out of atmosphere? How in the world did he not get saved just from the environment that was around, being around this man of God? And yet we know there are people who would be able to be chained to a prophet of God like this and never be born again themselves, because it's not just by environment or atmosphere alone. It must be something from within. Now, whenever the centurion delivers him to the captain of the guard, it was actually the Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard was the highest of all the Roman soldiers. They were screened and screened and rescreened because they were the emperor's closest guards. So when you come to these now, when they appeal to Caesar, then this is their private thing as a Roman citizen by which they have a right to appeal to Caesar's court personally. So it comes up, come to the Praetorian, then from the Praetorian, then Caesar will look at it and see if he actually wants to grant them this time or what. So Lucius now delivers them, but he put in this spot to where that, you know, the Romans said, no, I don't want nothing to do with him right now. Just leave him alone. So God actually gave Paul a little time or a little season. Now remember what we're dealing with, the book of Acts. Look at your own life. When sometimes you're dealing with things and you think you're in a way and you have no way out, you don't know what to do, and God doesn't actually completely deliver you from the situation, but he gives you a little bit of help to be able to help you to deal with it. Now the God who moved on Lucius' heart to allow Paul to stay here 7 days and meet with the brethren, stay here 7 days and meet with the brethren, stay over here 3 days and 5 days, the same God could have certainly moved upon Nero's heart and said, you know what, let this man go. And he said, you know what, let the man go. I'm not interested in the man. Let him go. But why didn't God do it? I don't know. Why don't God totally deliver me? Why don't God totally deliver you? Why don't God totally just eradicate evil or things out of our lives or things that we're dealing with that we don't understand? Why don't God, the same God that can help you through it, couldn't that same God totally annihilate it and destroy it? But sometimes he chooses not to. Why? Well, you know, I'm sure there'll be many of these things of life that we'll look on. I don't know how much of this that we'll even look back upon in the realm of eternity, how much of immortality that we will even want to brace and merge into mortality. But no doubt he will answer many, many things. And we will understand, of course, being birthed into the theophany, into the word form body that we bypass to come here. We will understand there will be an automatic illumination. We talk about people that go by the way of the grave and the dying with cancer. cancer and this and that. They're in a body that they're no longer sick. Friend, that don't even scratch the surface. Sickness is not even a thought in that land. Can you imagine coming out of a body that you're learning every day? That you go to church, you learn. You go to Walmart, you learn. You deal with your wife, you learn more about your wife today than you knew yesterday. And she learns more about you today than she did yesterday. You learn more about your children, you learn more about me. So we're constantly learning. And then all of a sudden you leave the realm of mortality and you move into a body, and this body is all-knowing. It is the body that you bypass to come here. The word-formed body. They're not just free of sickness. They're not just free of suffering. They have been birthed into a word body as Jesus was. Then Jesus knew he had pre-existed before he come here. When they move into that body, it will be the culmination of revelation after revelation after revelation of God showing you who you are. On this side of the theophany, it is by revelation as the morning dawn breaks and you see it more and more and more. But you're talking about when partial realization becomes perfect realization, when you are birthed either at the body change or by death, and you merge into that theophany, that word form body, that attribute which you was before you came here, and all of a sudden you realize, I truly was here before. I truly am a son or daughter of God. I was always that. I didn't become that in time. I did not become that because of my choice. I was always one of His. Oh my. Notice now, before the trial they would ever bring them before for them to be able to hold him, they would put them. Now, you know, you look at the grace of God again. As Lucius is able somehow by his own power or to those that are above him, instead of turning him completely over to the captain of the guard, he is actually able to secure to where Paul can have a private residence. Notice how he says this in verse 16. The name of the captain of the guard at this time is Barius Afranius. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now he was constantly there, and he kept hearing the Holy Ghost preach, and he kept hearing all these mysteries and all this, that, and other. And you imagine the poor guy, you know, oh my, what a time it must have been. But yet Paul, by the grace of God, no doubt was appreciative of what God done. And I wonder sometimes if we don't drive the blessing of God away from our lives because we see the partial thing of what God has done, and we get aggravated because the chain is still there. But Paul learned a great thing. He said, I've learned it, no matter what circumstance or condition that I find myself, be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. So if God is allowing me to be chained to this guy, who knows? I may pull him to eternal life one day. Amen. I may pull this guy right through. He may be nice to me, and I may be able to stand there and witness for him at that day. Who knows the reason of why God left him that way? And we know eventually Paul was set free. Paul was actually able to get a moment, year and a half or 2 years, something like that, in between these two increments from the time that they judge him the first time, they let him go. He's able to go out and make a little missionary tour and come back. And God actually allows him to go. Looks like it would have been less reproach. For the first time, you see your church age messenger and you run up to see him. You run to attend the meeting and he's standing in the pulpit and you're fixing to hear him preach. You say, who's that by him? What's that on his arm? I come to hear a preacher and I'm seeing a criminal. I come to hear a preacher speak the word of God. I've come to hear a church age messenger speak the word of God. And who's that man standing by him? He's got a chain on his arm. Now think of it. Would have some of you ever come back and hurt him? Or would you have sat there and thought in your mind, anytime there's smoke, there's always fire. He's done something. He's guilty of something. They wouldn't have chained him up there if he hadn't have done something. But the elect of God said, God bless his heart. God bless his heart. Look at him. He's preaching and throwing his arm and the soldier's arm at the same time. And that soldier's worshiping God whether he wants to or not. And oh my. Oh, glory to God. My, look at that man of God. It ain't even so. You know it had to embarrass him. You know it had to humiliate him. Look, friends, look at our lives. Look at many things about us. Oh, there's things about Donnie Reagan I hate. But there's many things about Donnie Reagan I love. Don't you flip your angel wings at me. You're the same way. You've got a love-hate relationship with yourself. Oh, my. Everywhere he went, there's a soldier. Anybody come for counsel? And Paul didn't just have a deacon there. He had a Roman soldier. Notice, Acts chapter 28, verse 20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. What a peculiar way to say this. Now, he makes it sound as if though the reason he's chained is because of the hope of Israel. But now he cloaks the mystery of his answer because he wants to lead them into truth and not try to push them in. Now watch, he says, I am actually bound by this chain because of the hope of Israel. But he doesn't mention the hope's name yet. Now remember, what he's going to do first is meet with the Jews. Watch him out in Ephesians 6:20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Philippians 1:7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you all in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Philippians 1:13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. Notice how many times he mentions it over and over again. Who wouldn't? What preacher wouldn't mention it? What person wouldn't mention it? But look at it in this. Look at you. Oh, friend, you may not have a chain around your arm, but you've been afflicted one way or another. Some of you, it's your personality. Some of you, you're flawed this way and that. You and many of you ain't going to admit it, but I'm going to say it for you, and I'm going to amen when I say it. Every one of us are flawed. Amen. 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 Every one of us are flawed. From the pulpit to the back door to Georgia to North Carolina to New Zealand to Australia, every one of us are flawed. And may I add, deeply flawed. Praise God. And that part about you, guess what? Didn't get the Holy Ghost when that little soul of yours did. So you, believe it or not, you are left in bonds too. Amen. You are chained to this humanity, this mortality, this realm, oh my, which bothers you and troubles you. And the prophet tells us you'll always have a carnal, sticky nature as long as you're here. And he said it'll always bother you. That's the good thing. It bothers you. My, my. Notice this again in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, who would ever think that a preacher being in bonds would make other people more confident? You'd think in one way, think, well, if it got him in trouble by preaching bold, and if that's what you get for it, I don't want it. So I'm going to water it down. I'm not going to say it so plain. I'll say it in such a way that nobody won't quite understand it. And I'll kind of diffuse it a little bit and hold it back. But instead of them making them weaker and compromise, it actually made them more bold. Okay, so we already have one answer in the realm of mortality why God allowed Paul to be able to be this way. It was going to strengthen and encourage the brothers, not to make cowards out of them, but to make them more brave soldiers. Bonds? That makes no sense. Of course it doesn't make any sense to us, because God from that side knows exactly what it takes on this side to make us what we need to be. If he kept us trouble-free and burden-free, we'd be more lazy than what we are now. Oh, my. Many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. How in the world could a chain on a man's arm make you more bold? Why not give him a scripture? Why not give him one of Paul's quotes?
Why use that? Why use something like that? God knows how to do it, don't he? Philemon chapter 1 verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, if you remember, Philemon, of course, was a rich man, a great businessman at this time and then. He was a great man, had a man of great character, but Onesimus had actually was a runaway slave. He had run away from Philemon, and yet Paul is able to be able to meet this guy. Paul was able to witness to him, and Paul, listen to this, what a paradox. Paul actually led him to a new birth. And this man was so open to the word that while Paul was chained, he led this man to an unchained state. Look at the law of contrast. Paul is chained, Brother Jim, in bonds. Oh, my. Look how he mentions this. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, why in the world would you bring that in? So it is a birth. Onesimus actually has become begotten, thank God, by the very prophet himself. And Paul points it out. This happened when I was in my bonds. Don't you understand? It is through our weakness that God expresses his greatness. When we can submit our weakness and God infuses that weakness with his power and brings our humanity subject to the overriding power of the Holy Ghost, then God takes us and uses us in a way that is absolutely profound in the way that he does it. And Paul said, in my bonds I have begotten Onesimus. So Paul is now pleading on his behalf, and he's asking Philemon to forgive him. And of course, Philemon is a Christian. So he held a grudge, and Christians forgive. If they're a Christian by life and a Christian by title. Because Christ forgives. They're not worthy. No, I agree. And neither was you. And neither am I. That's when it takes real grace. To forgive when the person is least deserving. Amen. Notice, I beseech thee for my son. My, what a thing to be called by a prophet of God. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. So here this man is actually brought to a true conversion while Paul is still bound. The man himself bound. But he helps loose this man from whatever sins and treachery and that he had got into. And yet Paul ties his conversion to his state of being bound. At the same time, oh my, may I say to you, I have preached messages of deliverance to you, and you have got delivered when I was more sick than you were. Some of you have got delivered and got burdens lifted off from you, and I was going through more than you were when I preached it. Amen. Why, it's not based upon the man himself, whether or not he's shouting and jumping up and down, but God uses. Notice, what a smack in the devil's face. Him thinking, boy, he'll be so ashamed, he'll never be able to tell anybody about being free. And God said, watch him. Watch my boy. Yes, sir, watch him. I'm going to leave him chained up, and I'm going to let him preach freedom. I'm going to let him preach being set free in Christ. As a matter of fact, he'll produce this birth, another birth, another birth while his arm is bound. And you'll torment him and you'll lie to him and say, if God loves you, why don't he take that chain off your arm? Shut up, devil. Notice again in Acts 28:16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself. Wow. They have now moved to the queen of the earth, Rome. Luke doesn't mention the Colosseum. He doesn't mention the great chariot races. He doesn't mention how beautiful the buildings are. What's he talking about? The church, the bride, the gospel, the word. Wow, that kind of reminds me of us. We live in this world, and there's pretty things out here, and this and that and the other, and we like to see them, but that's not our main thing. Our main thing is the word. Oh, hallelujah. Julius, so many times, moving, even before they ever get there. Now, remember, the Jews have been driven out of Rome. They've been driven out of Rome before Paul ever comes. And yet, God had so worked it out. All the Jews are gone. Remember, Aquila and Priscilla left. And then they return. And the Jews under Claudius were considered to be such a plague among humanity that they drove them all out on the eastern part of Rome at one time before Claudius makes them leave. Over 8,000 Jews lived on the east side of the Tiber. But yet Claudius says, get out of here. They're a bunch of filth. We don't need them around. But can you imagine? Nero's wife becomes converted to the Jewish faith. Whoa. Now she never did become a Christian, but she became converted to the Jewish faith. So what did they do before Paul, a few years before Paul's visit? They allowed Jews to start coming back into Rome. Why? God said, Paul, you're going to Rome. If the edict of Claudius was still standing, the Romans would have never brought him in there because they expelled all Jews. So God just opened enough. Amen. God opened it just enough. Don't you believe our God can do the same thing? Look, friend, at the Soviet Union, the USSR. You remember Brother Branham never called it by that name. He never called it, watch the USSR. He never watched it, but he said, watch Russia. And for years, the communism thing, the Pentecostals, the denomination, my, that's what they preach, communism, communism, communism. And it looked like, you imagine when the prophet was standing here in the 60s and said, don't fear Russia, don't fear Russia, they're nothing but a tool in the hands of God. My, they would have never known that under Gorbachev and under Ronald Reagan, that the wall would have ever come down and Soviet Union, all these other countries would break away from the USSR. It seemed like a power that could not be broken. I'll tell you how it was broken. Prophecy. God knew the USSR was only USSR for a little while. But it ain't the USSR no more. Amen. It's the same way with our lives. When God gets ready to move, He can move. He can move every affliction out of your body tonight. He can move every trial out of your life. Every test out of your life if He wanted to. But He might leave a little difficulty in your life. Praise God. Notice this in Acts chapter 28, verse 17. It came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. Now remember, his philosophy was this: to the Jew first, also to the Greek. So he's going to call the Jews. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Amen. Yes. Men and brethren, I've committed no wrong. Now watch this talk. This is not to bribe now. He's fishing. He's baited the hook and he's throwing it out. Now he's fishing. Are there any elect in among them? Now he's going to say it in parabolic form and see if any of them will bite. Now men and brethren, watch his terminology. Totally Jewish. Customs of the fathers. Totally Jewish. Hebraic. Hebrew. So he's what? So nothing would set them off about Jesus yet. Yes, amen. Now, they, as I said, they'd been banished by this edict by Claudius in AD 49. So by now, they'd been allowed to be able to come back. Hadn't been back that many years. But they'd been there long enough now to where they would reestablish and the Jewish leaders was there. So he calls the leaders themselves together and he wants to know kind of what they've heard. So he's going to check them out. Now, these would have been the chief. They would have been the rabbis, the leaders of the synagogues and all that. So he says, you know, I want you to know when they were come together, I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now, you know, unless the Spirit of God would have shown him, he wouldn't have been aware as to what they would have known about him. So do they know about me? What have they heard about me? What do they believe about me? So he doesn't know. So he's going to approach them on this term and fishing at the same time. You got to watch preachers. They're sneaky fishermen. So he wants to understand. Now he wants to know, where do I start sowing seeds? How do I do? Now I know some of you ain't never missionary work none. I realize that. So you don't know. I know myself, when I've been to China and some of the primitive places where they really didn't know the message, I tell Brother Murphy, every city we go into, Brother Murphy, first thing we want to do is the very first service, I want to have question and answers. I want to know where they stand. If they're still struggling, you know, about baptism, women wearing pain, or, you know, if they're struggling with the Godhead, they're struggling with water baptism, they're struggling, God sent a prophet. I don't want to preach up here if they're here. I want to find out where they are the first service, and if need be, we'll take two services so I can kind of get a spectrum of where they are. So we'll have question and answers the first service, and then after that, we'll attack. So then after the question and answers after the first service, then I would take their questions and I'd go back to the room. I would start from the Old Testament, go from the Old to the New, and go to proving exactly where their question was. Brother Murphy would translate it, go downstairs, print it off on a communist office, print it off in a communist-controlled hotel, print it off on a communist-bought printer, and hand it out to Hungry Hearts. So they would be able to sit there as I would be able to go back. Well, I don't understand, you know, is there one God? Is there two? Is there three? So I'd start in the Old Testament where God said he was the first and the last. Then I'd come to the New Testament where Jesus said he was. Now we've either got the same person or we got two firsts and two lasts. So which one is it? Now you realize this is what Paul is doing. He wants to find out where the people are. Oh my. Hallelujah. So notice whenever he goes on now, watch him, he spends a little more in verse 18. Who, when they examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. Amen. Now you imagine him watching the brethren as they're sitting there, the Jews now. Have you heard anything about this guy? And I ain't heard a thing. I mean, I've heard he's Saul of Tarsus. His daddy was, you know, about this freedom. He's everybody. I ain't heard anything. Man, have you heard anything? I never think about it. Well, it's unusual not to hear something about a preacher. Wow. They examined me and they had no proof against me. I mean, you look at every one of them down through from the Romans on down. None of them, even Lysias, the chief captain, all the others, Felix, Festus, the Romans, all of them, they would have let me go. They would have absolutely let me go, but they couldn't because of the political power. And this was God's way, of course, for him to come to Rome. Free trip, free passage, free food, all that. Notice, and when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained. Now, this is the answer why they wouldn't let him go. The Jews. The Romans was going to let, friends, look at this. The people that was looking at prophecy, the people that should have known, they was the ones that spoke against him being free, and the heathen Romans, which would have let him go, was willing to free him, but these people, the closest to truth, would not hear of it. Think of it, where does some of our greatest persecution come from? But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Now, notice what he's doing. He's laying the platform of why he's even there. Some of them are not sure, they haven't heard. They said, I'm sure that you're wondering, why am I doing? What am I doing here? Why would you appeal to Caesar? You overrode the Sanhedrin. You overrode the high priest. Why did you do that? But notice, he never goes into detail. He does not describe time after time when the chief order of the Sanhedrin tried to get him killed. It's like he leaves that out. You know, there's a time to talk about things like that, and there's a time to shut up. There's a time to expose people. There's a time to just keep it to yourself and pray for it. Now watch it. It's going to seem as if, though, that he's trying to protect himself and lay the blame on them if he goes this other way. So he just opts to leave that out. You're talking about wisdom. Oh, God grant it to us. When the Jews spake against it, I was constrained. I didn't want to. I didn't want to do this. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I didn't want to have to go this way. I was forced to, brethren. Amen. So they're sitting there listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, that explains that. That explains that bracelet you got on there, that Roman ID. Okay, so actually you're not guilty of death. You never. No. Well, how come you appeal? Well, I was forced to appeal to Caesar. Caesar, they was going to let me go, but the people would not allow it. Okay, so you're not trying to usurp the Roman authority over us and our judicial system. No, I didn't want to do this. Right. Ah, oh, Brother Danny, I got you. I was constrained. I'm not this type of man. You imagine him praying, God, help me. If there's seed among these people, give me the words to say. Praise God. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you. Because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Notice, no messianic coming, no Lord Jesus, no Jesus of Nazareth. Perfect acceptable terms so far. Why? Fishing. Do you ever throw a bear hook out? You ain't much of a fisherman if you do. For this cause, I've called to let you all know this is what has happened to me and this is why I'm here. I'm a prisoner, not for any crime. I've been misrepresented. Boy, have we all been there and done that. Y'all been prisoners before by people's gossip on Facebook and whatever more. Oh, my Lord, I've murdered, I've plundered. Oh, I've done just about everything you can imagine in the book, according to people. And you have too. But are you that in reality? No, not in reality. But that's what people want to believe on you. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope. I want you to be able to hear it from me, brethren, why I'm here. The true reason is because I have preached the hope of Israel. Which is what? We'll discuss that next time. Now he said, I'm just fishing here tonight. Now we'll go a little deeper next time. The hope of Israel, which was what? The elect. If they would have been sitting there to know the truth, they'd have smiled one another and went, here we go. Here we go. Amen, they'd have said, or smiled, you know, so they wouldn't stick out too bad. Amen. And the other said, well, what'd they say amen to that for? Uh-oh, it's coded talk. It's coded language. We do have that. We speak in code. We do. And certain things, if somebody will say something, they say, amen. You say, what did that mean? Why? Because the illumination has not struck their heart the way that it struck yours. So Paul is laying out the case. He's been perfectly honest. He's been totally, completely honest. But he is restricting that honesty according to the initial first fishing day. Now, you're fishing for rainbow trout. They're tricky little fellas. You see an old sucker, an old gar, I mean, you know, take a peanut butter ball or you take a dough ball and put on some fish, they're dumber than a goat. I mean, you can catch them things, but if you're fishing for prize trout, I mean, you want something that'll really, really be able to make a trophy, you've got to know how to fish for them. So Paul is now fishing. Ah, my brothers, I've been this because of the hope of Israel. He said, I am bound with this chain. And they're saying, oh my, really? Okay, for the hope of Israel. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee. We saw no YouTube videos or Facebook posts. We received no texts or phone calls. Brothers, y'all didn't live in this day, I can tell you that. They said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. Wow! You gotta be kidding. They hated this man. The Jews absolutely despised this man. But something had happened to them, which I personally hope happens to many of those who've left our message. That eventually they realize they will never stop it. And they will eventually shut up before they damn themselves beyond redemption. our truth is hated. I don't think it was hated any more than were these men and this truth in this age. They hated it, and they hated Paul. They hated Paul worse than any of the rest of them, and we've been through that to explain why. They absolutely hated the man. But it's like they come to a spot to where they realize, you know what? Everything we try to lay for the guy, every trap we try to lay, he gets out of it. We lay this trap and somebody tells them. We lay this trap and somebody tells them. You know what? Let's just use our energies on something else. So they just thought, this is pretty much seemed like a hopeless case. So they said, we didn't get no text, no emails, no YouTube videos, no iPhones, no iChats, no nothing else. We hadn't even really heard anything about you. I imagine him saying, you got to be kidding me. No, brother, the only thing we heard about you was good. Oh, Lord have mercy. Really? I mean, y'all hadn't heard? No. Well, good. Then you can hear it firsthand from me. Now he knows he's dealing with virgin ground in the sense of them being polluted toward the gift. Because if they're polluted there, they're not going to receive it. If they ain't got no confidence in him, they ain't going to take what he's saying. So he's got to find out, where are they? Are they affected by me? Can they have confidence in what I'm going to lead them to? So a fish is scattering on the top, you know, skimming down a little bit with a spinner and then coming back up a little bit. So once he lays it out, brother, and you know, I wanted to let y'all know, well, I ain't heard anything. You heard anything? You got anything? You ain't texting me about it? No, I haven't heard a word. No, sir. My family lives back here in Jerusalem. I've got people who lives over there, which the news didn't travel like it does here. But I said, we haven't received no letters. None of the brothers that come through. Some of them gossipers that come through. I mean, you know, they're always coming through. And we didn't receive no letters, no gossipers. Nobody come through. We hadn't heard a thing. He said, thank you, Jesus. That's one of the reasons I can't wait to get to heaven, because there'll be no gossipers there. Be no troublemakers there, no liars, no. I won't ever have to go down the street wondering if that person likes me or not. They'll all love me there. Nobody will ever make up one lie against me, one lie against you, one lie against you and your Lord Jesus, and won't be no liars there. That's right. Oh, what a place that's going to be. Forget all the gold, forget the silver and all that. To live in a place where there ain't no liars among men to human beings, that's a miracle. Be nobody hanging around the court. Here comes Brother Trey. How you doing, Brother Trey? Oh, my. You can see that guilt and a hound dog and anything else look on her face. You know they've been talking about you. There won't be nobody doing that there, brother. There won't be nobody standing on the corner. Ain't there be no whispers there. Oh, hallelujah. So they say, all right, so we've not heard any of this. Verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee. What thou thinkest as concerning this sect. Uh-oh. Here we are. We want to know. This is what we've heard. This is all that's talked about among our family. This sect. Oh, they're a cult. They read, stand up and read and post a man's words on a screen. Yeah. Dr. Luke. They quote this brand man or Branham or Branham or something. Or they quote that man. You know what they tell me? They preach against smoking. We believe in smoking. Ribs, pork belly, brisket. They tell me they don't believe in dancing. We believe in dancing. I'm a prime example of a dancing message preacher. But we don't believe in dancing to rock and roll and country and all that stuff. Oh, they tell me they brainwash them people. No, we don't brainwash, we soul wash here. Woo! Hallelujah! They tell me they baptize in that man's name. We do. Our God became a man and took on him the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we baptize in his name. We cast out devils in his name. We lay hands on the sick in his name. And we believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest as concerning this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, it was so famous among them, they didn't even have to call its name. It wasn't like it was one of 5,000. It wasn't like it was one of 300. It was so isolated out in their view, they didn't even have to call it by name. That's quite a compliment. Oh, glory to God. Amen. What is your opinion? Forget the bracelet, forget the Roman identity, forget the jail, forget what do you think about this messianic message? They say the Messiah has come on the earth. Now they believe that he's went up to heaven and he's come back in spirit form and living in them. Oh, glory! And they say it ain't good enough anymore to go to the tabernacle, the temple. They say you've got to accept the blood of Jesus. And they believe they're the only ones that has the truth. Now remember, they don't mention Nazarene, Nazareth, Jesus, or nothing. It is so pronounced in their day. The cult of all cults. Isn't it amazing, friends, that we are so isolated out and so picked on by so many people. And yet we do not go around teaching people to fly planes into places and destroy people. We don't teach them to strap bombs on their backs and blow up people. We don't teach none of that sort of stuff. You think, why don't these people waste their energy actually standing against a cult? We ain't one no way. Tell me, what cult do you know or that you know of that promotes and pushes the Lord Jesus Christ and a new birth and a salvation by his blood? Tell me what cult preacher allows every sermon he preaches to be put on the internet for the world, the FBI, Secret Service, and whoever more to listen to every word? And whatever I believe, I say it here. I don't believe one thing back there and say something else here. Tell me what cult, you know, though you have to have a password to get to many of these websites because they don't want everybody knowing it. Well, we don't have a problem with we knowing it because we ain't got nothing to hide. I said we ain't got nothing to hide. Our God is so big and our truth is so wonderful. We want people to know it. The Jews everywhere spoke against this. So there's one thing that'll separate you from us, buddy. Roman persecution? Nope. Having a chain on your arm? Nope. Where do you stand on what they call the message of the hour? Tacitus, the Roman historian, called Christianity a detestable superstition. Nero, Justin Martyr says, for the Jews, not only cursed the Christians in their synagogues, but they did all they could do to raise up hatred and enmity of other men against them. And sent out chosen people from Jerusalem, wherever the Jews are scattered, to try to poison them against Christianity. To acquaint the world with this cult. So you see, a lot of these folks have left the message and making YouTube videos and having websites. Don't you see what they're operating under? They're not operating under the spirit of Christ. They're operating under the spirit of Antichrist, the very same thing that caused the Jews to kill Jesus.
the very same spirit. That's the way they done. Jesus never operated that way. The apostles never operated that way. It was the Antichrist spirit that operated that way. Now, it was considered to be atheistic, of course, by the Jews because they're introducing that God had come down and become a man. Now, it was not easy, you know that it wasn't, for them to try to be able to persuade them. It would take a new birth just like with us. Notice this one, Attalus the martyr was put to death at Lyons. An inscription was set over his head with this writing. Now, this is his charges. This is, of course, what they would do whenever the Romans would crucify a man and they brought it on over through the Dark Ages, that they would hang something over them and was an inscription. And it would be their name and their crime. Now, that's why it's so important that Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. This was his crime. Well, the other man hanging on the other side, his name would have been whatever more, and his crime would have been theft, or his crime would have been rape, or his crime would have been murder. Well, Jesus, who he was, and his crime was Jesus, the King of the Jews. That was his crime. Attalus, the inscription that was up over him was, this is Attalus the Christian. So this is who he was, Attalus. His crime was a Christian. Well, praise God. I'll tell you one thing, if we're going to crucify you tonight, how big of an inscription would we need about your life? He was a liar, he was this, he was that, he was meaner than the devil himself, meaner than a copperhead. My goodness, we'd have to have a sign about the size of that door on some of us. Come on now, church, don't get quiet. My, wouldn't that be something when you go to be crucified by people of whatever more, and they say, Scott, the Christian, Skip, the Christian, Carol, the believer. My, what a thing to be said about you and said, well, so-and-so, that was a gossiper, that was a liar, that was a troublemaker in the church, they was mean, they done this and that and the other. Oh, no, let this be the inscription. Amen, when hell comes against me, when hell comes against you, may their charges be Donnie, the reason we hate. He is a son of God. He is a Christian. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. He won't compromise. Let that be the sign over our heads. When Polycarp was martyred, the crime, all the crime they could charge him with, and they objected, and he confessed himself, this one charge, to be a Christian. The Jews hated him so much. Nero made this cruel edict. Whosoever confessed himself to be a Christian, let him be presently put to death without any more ado. If you confessed, you was a Christian. So, if there is a press that comes against us, and it would be illegal for us to meet on Wednesday nights, wonder how many folks would still come. Now, I've been to China and some of those places where it is illegal. It's a very different world, believe me. On my last visit there, I rented a hotel room, a large room with a suite, so we'd be able to have church in it. People come up the elevator. When they come across the elevator, say, that's the elevator door. There's a guard sitting right here on every floor. He watches every person and what room they go to. So if you're going to have church at 7:30, people start getting there at 6. Somebody else a quarter after. Somebody else 6:30. Somebody quarter till. Somebody 5 till. But they're taking note of every room you're going to. Is it scary? Yeah. Brother Donnie, is you scared? Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest. I was in there preaching one night. I heard a knock on the door. My face went blood red. And them saints froze. It was only the maid wanting to turn down the bed. But I didn't know that. The Lord hadn't let me know she's coming. So it took me a few minutes to regroup. But we regrouped. Hallelujah. And they rolled a woman in a wheelchair. And after we regrouped, she pushed the wheelchair out. Glory to God. Does the old flesh get in the way? Sure it does. Does Satan try to scare you? Sure he does. Oh my. He might try to scare us, but he ain't going to stop us. He might try to raise his old breath up and say, boy, you better watch this and the other, but he ain't going to stop the children of God.
Notice verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Persuading them concerning
Jesus.
Let me tell you something, friends. I'm not here tonight to persuade you concerning me. I'm not here to try to persuade you concerning Happy Valley. This is where you need to be. Where you need to be is in Christ Jesus. Whatever church building you choose to go to, as far as a message church and whoever your pastor is, that's up to you. Go wherever you feel led of God to do. But there's one place I can point you all to, and I know without a shadow of a doubt I'll be 100% right. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're not here to preach our church. Come on, don't misunderstand me. Do we need a church? Sure. Do you need to set on a man of God? Sure. Do we need the message of the hour? Absolutely. Do we need the ministration of the prophet of God? Absolutely. But we need to get folks to a true baptism of the Holy Ghost, not just hanging around the message. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Boy, you're talking about a series. From morning till evening. Boy, he must have got tired, but I don't feel near as sorry for him as I do that Roman guy standing there. You imagine that guy standing there. He's going through the types and the shadows and the laws. And my, this is probably where part of the mystery of the book of Hebrews come, that he's standing there going from morning to evening. This poor guy saying, would you take a break? I am wore out. Hey man, can I have a break from this? You're the preacher. I ain't no preacher. But could you please let me sit down? But Paul got so anointed by the Spirit of God, sowing the seed. Why, God's reaching out. Amen. You think them elect sat there and said, man, I wish it wouldn't. I could have confidence in me if it wasn't for that chain. I imagine they held on to his words, the words that come out of his mouth. Praise God. What did they do? A large number of people showed up. Notice this. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many unto him. So they tell this one, they tell that one, they tell that one. Here they come. My, they're coming in. Bless God. We're going to see. We're going to find out where he's at. You imagine they heard words they'd never heard in their life. As that prophet stands up there anointed by the Holy Ghost. Brethren, don't you remember Genesis 3:15? The Lord said himself that he would raise up a serpent bruiser. I know you was looking for the messianic coming to be a son of David, but it was not this time for the son of David. It was the dispensation of the son of God leading up to the son of man, emptying out into the son of David. Oh my, it was not that coming. I know David said of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne, but it was not this time, brethren. And the Romans said, man, that's good preaching. Amen. Amen. Them sinners said, wow, where in the world did he get all that? But you know what happened? Some believed. But most didn't. Wow. Where did my time go? Let's stand. I think I just now looked at that clock. Somebody ain't got a remote on that thing, are you, where you're playing tricks with me? Praise God. Praise God. So he expounded and he testified. Isn't it amazing the mannerisms of a preacher? That he'll expound, he'll quote, he'll dramatize, he'll testify, he'll merge in one service history, drama, scenes that'll make the story so real, just like you're standing right there watching it happen. And then you'll come in with things of fear, come in with things of infinite wisdom of God. It's like you're over the whole board. Where does that all come from? One source. The Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you love him tonight? Think of it, friends. We are the continuation, part of the continuation of the same book of Acts. We'll look at it shortly. How the way Luke ends it. It's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Though he ends it. He doesn't go all the way with Paul to being beheaded. He doesn't go with Peter. He doesn't go with James. He doesn't trail down any of these individual preachers and tell us the size of their kingdom. How many folks is on their mailing list. He doesn't. He just comes up and stops it abruptly. As if though it's to continue on. As you know by reading it, it has no amen. The book of Acts does not end with amen. Believe it or not, you are the amen. Harry, we get to amen. So be it, Lord. Praise God. Brother Darrell, Brother Danny, some of the brothers just come from Nicaragua sending reports of things that was happening. People getting saved. Miracles. Deliverances. What was it? Modern day book of Acts. Brother Dwight, just tell me about some meetings he just had out in Montana. Book of Acts. What is it? Continuation of the book of Acts. It's ongoing, friends. It has not stopped. It's still going on tonight. I'm so glad we're a part of it. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Lord, that we could be just a small part of a great big work that you're doing around this world. Thank you for letting us, Lord Jesus, be able to be partakers of the divine nature. We know, Lord, that we not only share the power and the glory and the great power of God that was given to them, but we also share the reproach. They were hated, ridiculed. Many of these people were disinherited by their fathers and mothers when they accepted you. Being disinherited would be one thing, but Lord, many of them were disemboweled. Their heads were cut off. Their fingers chopped off. Because they loved you so much. They would not deny you. Polycarp, being about 90 years old, and the Roman guy that sent to kill him, said, "You're an old man. Just recant. Deny him." But Polycarp said, "I was young and now I'm old. He's never done me nothing but good. All my life. He's never done me nothing but good." I believe there's people right here in this building tonight could say the same thing. He ain't never, never, no, never, never done me nothing but good. Even through my trials and hardships and difficulties. Oh, he'd come on the scene and help me, but he left me chained. I hope you can see yourself tonight. You, Paul, have been left chained to that old Roman, as it were. He's with you everywhere you go. You know who it is, don't you? It's your flesh. Oh, yes. So in order to go to church, you need for the flesh to give you a ride. Your soul is converted, but your soul can't drive. If you want to clap your hands, you have to ask the Roman to give you hands. Praise God. You want to bend down on your knees to pray. Your soul ain't got knees. So you have to borrow the knees of the Roman. The Roman don't feel like praying sometimes. He don't feel like praising. He don't feel like worshiping. He's tired. He's worked. But the soul inside's, come on, Roman. Let's worship God. Come on, you old Roman. Praise the Lord. But as I mentioned to you the other night, I've not been able to find in scripture or history where the Roman ever got saved, where Paul ever led him to a change. But one difference between him and you, you by the grace of God are going to be able to lead your prison to a change. This body that holds you, these bars of bones, this house of clay, glory to God, you are going to lead it to a change. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise God. Don't you love him, children? Amen. Oh, I'm sure you stand here tonight with questions in your mind like I do. Lord, what about this? How come that? Oh, my.
You believe he's mindful of you? Look at me. You've heard the story told over and over again about Brother Doug McHughes whenever he's out there hunting with Brother Branham and he has this virus in his eye. You said, Brother Branham, does the Lord show you visions? Yeah, brother, he does. He said, but generally I come out here to rest myself. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Branham. I didn't mean to bother you. You didn't bother me, brother. No, you didn't bother me. And then he breaks into a vision. The reason you said that, I see your doctor, heavyset guy with glasses on. This and this and this. And he told you, Mr. McHughes, I have doctored your eye now for 2 years. And he said, that virus in your eye is eating your eye out. There's nothing I can do for you. And your mother's a short woman. I seen her in a vision. She said, son, see, mother, he said, son, said she's got little tumors hanging between her toes. And she told you, if you see Brother Branham, ask him to pray for me. Thus saith the Lord. Your eyes are healed. Isn't that wonderful? But yet, Brother Doug told me himself, later in the day, Brother Branham comes to him after this thing happens. And he comes to him and says, you've got a stomach trouble. It'll bother you the rest of your life. I've been with him in Africa, preached for him many, many times in Arizona, preached with him in different places in Arizona. Constantly kept Tums in his pocket. Nearly every time he would eat, he would also have to follow up with a dessert of Tums. Explain that, Brother Donnie. I can't. Because I don't understand it myself. Was it a chain that God allowed to hang on him? I don't know. But the same God that could show Brother Branham that he had it, couldn't he have told him you're delivered from it? Well, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, let's sing it. Well, by and by, yeah, when the morning comes, when all the saints our God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Well, we are often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempests, bright sunshine in the land of perfect day. When the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better. Everybody now, amen, let's sing it. I'm singing by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we fly. We'll understand it better. Everybody, with all your heart, boy, let you go. We're singing by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of our God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome.
Temptations, hidden snares often catch us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for this thoughtless word deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the
saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we
praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together and I'll let you go. Father, thank you so much for Wednesday night service. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we can be gathered together. We don't know, Lord, if it'll come to a spot one day that they'll shut our doors down. But Lord, if they do, then we want to be ready for that hour to come. Whatever lays in front of us, Lord Jesus, prepare us. Help us that we can be faithful and true. Go with us now, Lord. Bring us back this weekend, I pray. Lord, for myself, I've still been rejoicing and feeding on the services this past weekend. Amen. So wonderful, so tremendous, Lord. I believe you have another great weekend laying before us. May your presence go with your people now. Heal the sick, Lord. Encourage those that may be weary. Grant it, I pray. Just meet the needs and minister to them, we ask. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
And we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. We'll by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we